he had gone. Harry's wand fell to the floor with a clatter, and there was silence. Silence except for the steady drip, drip of ink still oozing from the diary. The basilisk venom had burned a sizzling hole right through it. Shaking all over, Harry pulled himself up. His head was spinning as though he'd just travelled miles by flue powder. Slowly he gathered together his wand and the sorting hat, and, with a huge tug, retrieved the glittering sword from the roof of the basilisk's mouth. Then came a faint moan from the end of the chamber. Ginny was stirring. As Harry hurried towards her, she sat up. Her bemused eyes travelled from the huge form of the dead basilisk over Harry in his blood-soaked robes, then to the diary in his hand. She drew a great, shuddering gasp, and tears began to pour down her face.
"Harry! Oh, Harry! I tried to tell you at breakfast, but I couldn't say it in front of Percy. It was me, Harry. But I swear I didn't mean to. Riddle made me. He took me over, and how did you kill that thing? Where's Riddle? The last thing I remember is him coming out of the diary."
"It's all right," said Harry, holding up the diary and showing Ginny the fang hole. "Riddle's finished. Look, him and the basilisk. Come on, Ginny, let's get out of here."
"I'm going to be expelled,"
Ginny wept as Harry helped her awkwardly to her feet.
"I've looked forward to coming to Hogwarts ever since Bill came, and then now I'll have to leave, and what'll Mum and Dad say?"
Fawkes was waiting for them, hovering in the chamber entrance. Harry urged Ginny forward. They stepped over the motionless coils of the dead basilisk, through the echoing gloom, and back into the tunnel. Harry heard the stone doors close behind them with a soft hiss. After a few moments' progress up the dark tunnel, a distant sound of slowly shifting rock reached Harry's ears. "Ron!" Harry yelled, speeding up. "Ginny's okay! I've got her!" He heard Ron give a strangled cheer, and they turned the next bend to see his eager face staring through the sizable gap he had managed to make in the rockfall. "Ginny!" Ron thrust an arm through the gap in the rock to pull her through first.
"You're alive! I don't believe it! What happened?"
He tried to hug her, but Ginny held him off, sobbing.
"But you're okay, Ginny," said Ron, beaming at her. "It's over now. It's—"
"Where did that bird come from?" Fawkes had swooped through the gap after Ginny.
"He's Dumbledore's," said Harry, squeezing through himself.
"And how come you've got a sword?" said Ron, gaping at the glittering weapon in Harry's hand.
"I'll explain when we get out of here," said Harry, with a sideways glance at Ginny.
"But later," Harry said quickly. He didn't think it was a good idea to tell Ron yet who had been opening the chamber. Not in front of Ginny, anyway.
"Where's Lockhart?"
"Back there," said Ron, grinning and jerking his head up the tunnel towards the pipe. "He's in a bad way. Come and see." Led by Fawkes, whose wide scarlet wings emitted a soft golden glow in the darkness, they walked all the way back to the mouth of the pipe. Gilderoy Lockhart was sitting there, humming placidly to himself.
"His memory's gone," said Ron. "The memory charm backfired. Hit him instead of us. Hasn't got a clue who he is, or where he is, or who we are. I told him to come and wait here. He's a danger to himself."
Lockhart peered good-naturedly up at them all.
"Hello," he said. "Odd sort of place this, isn't it? Do you live here?"
No, said Ron, raising his eyebrows at Harry. Harry bent down and looked up the long, dark pipe.
"Have you thought how we're going to get back up this?" he said to Ron.
Ron shook his head, but Fawkes the Phoenix had swooped past Harry and was now fluttering in front of him, his beady eyes bright in the dark.
He was waving his long golden tail feathers. Harry looked uncertainly at him.
"He looks like he wants you to grab hold," said Ron, looking perplexed. "But you're much too heavy for a bird to pull up there."
"Fawkes," said Harry, "isn't an ordinary bird." He turned quickly to the others. "We've got to hold on to each other. Ginny, grab Ron's hand. Professor Lockhart—"
"He means you," said Ron sharply to Lockhart.
"You hold Ginny's other hand."
Harry tucked the sword and the sorting hat into his belt. Ron took hold of the back of Harry's robes, and Harry reached out and took hold of Fawkes' strangely hot tail feathers.
An extraordinary lightness seemed to spread through his whole body, and next second, with a whoosh, they were flying upwards through the pipe. Harry could hear Lockhart dangling below him, saying, "Amazing! Amazing! This is just like magic!" The chill air was whipping through Harry's hair, and before he had stopped enjoying the ride, it was over. All four of them were hitting the wet floor of Moaning Myrtle's bathroom, and, as Lockhart straightened his hat, the sink that hid the pipe was sliding back into place. Myrtle goggled at them.
"You're alive," she said blankly to Harry.
"There's no need to sound so disappointed," he said grimly, wiping flecks of blood and slime off his glasses.
"Well, I've just been thinking if you had died, you'd have been welcome to share my toilet,"
said Myrtle, blushing silver.
"Ugh!" said Ron, as they left the bathroom for the dark, deserted corridor outside.
"Harry, I think Myrtle's got fond of you. You've got competition, Ginny."
But tears were still flooding silently down Ginny's face.
"Where now?" said Ron, with an anxious look at Ginny. Harry pointed.
Fawkes was leading the way, glowing gold along the corridor. They strode after him, and moments later found themselves outside Professor McGonagall's office. Harry knocked and pushed the door open.